NFT.
NFT.
NFTs.
NFTs.
Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are exploding in popularity.
This is ZenChats. I am Zeneca. Let's talk NFTs. Hello and welcome to another episode of ZenChats. Today I'm here with Alex from Headspaces. Honestly, just a wonderful, wonderful NFT project. It has a focus on mental health, which you know that I'm a big fan of. It has fantastic art, and we're going to dive into the whole project. But before we get to that, hello, welcome, Alex. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, sure. We've spoken about this for a little bit of time now, and it's great to get it set up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so we go way back, basically. I remember the Headspaces Twitter account, it maybe had like 20 followers or 100 followers, and you're going to do your first Twitter space. And I don't know how we got in touch. I think someone tagged me or you DM'd me or something. And then because I was, this would have been like 6-8 months ago, sort of already trying to spread more awareness about mental health, and there just really weren't many NFT projects discussing it. There might not have been any that had that as like a main focus. And then you came along, and I'm pretty sure I was on your first Twitter spaces hanging out. And yeah, it feels like 10 lifetimes ago. But when was that exactly?
I think it was, it does feel like 10 lifetimes ago. It was November time, I think. We were right at the beginning of forming this project. Back then, didn't really have a clear picture of what it would become. And I think I did DM you. I think I lived by the philosophy, you don't ask, you don't get. And I thought I'd give it a shot. And we had a little bit of back and forth, and you said, if you can make it, you'll join. And so you did with a following of 100 or so came over. It was great.
Amazing. Let's take a step back and go sort of, so that was in November. Let's talk about what sort of happened before that. What was your pre-NFT life?
Sure. Yeah. Right. Let's go right back. So I was...
what were you like as a child? Let's
Well, that's a story for another time. I think, it's with these projects that have strong focuses on social issues, using mental health as an example, I think it's always key to get the experience question out the door, because some people might expect, well, if you're starting a mental health project, if that's the core focus, surely you have a mental health background or that was or is still your profession. And for me, it really wasn't. I've been a software engineer, or I am a software engineer by trade. That was what I studied for my degree years back. It's what I worked for 3 or 4 years for quite a large corporate IT company. And for the most part, enjoyed it, really enjoyed what I was doing, enjoyed my degree, saw the career progression go pretty well. And then unfortunately, COVID hit and changed a lot of things for a lot of people. And for me, it was mostly my career and how I felt towards my position and maybe my future in that career. So I was, as I said, working in the software engineering space, not really happy with where I was, and started just to get pretty sad, I wouldn't say in a dark place, but I just had completely lost my passion. And I thought growing up that work was going to be the real driving force in my life outside of relationships. You know, I wanted to be financially driven, career driven, and that was where I'd set my goals. So to all of a sudden reach a point where I didn't feel valued at work, I didn't feel motivated, as I said, didn't have this passion anymore for what I was doing, I ended up just being a bit of a miserable person. And that's where this sort of mental health element of the project comes into play. That was my driving factor for leaving that job, with no real plan in place other than a picture of what I needed to do in place of that, which was something fun, something that made me feel happier, something that if it could make others happier would really have been a bonus. And as one thing has led to another, here we are today, me working full-time on Headspaces as a project, as a much happier person myself. And I'm going to stretch and say it. I think, and I hope, I do believe that the project has made others happier, maybe just by a little bit, maybe by a great deal, but it's certainly mission accomplished, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm sure it has made other people happier and made people's lives easier, just knowing what I know. Timeline-wise, when did you... So if the project launched, or like the Twitter account and stuff started happening in November, when did you quit your job? And then sort of what was it, the transition from that into, I want to launch an NFT project?
Yeah, so they were sort of running in parallel. So I had these thoughts about leaving the company around sort of July, August time last year, which funnily enough was also when I started getting involved with NFTs and discovering this community driven element. And I thought, well, actually this is quite cool. This makes me happy. Maybe there's an opportunity here to have a career shift. So it got to about late August, early September time, and I had this idea. Wasn't too sure how I was going to execute it, but I had this idea for the project. I had this very rough image in mind, which came on to become the art piece. And I had this mental health focus and all of these ideas flurrying around, but I very quickly realized I couldn't dedicate my time. As much as I didn't like my job, I was always going to put 100% of effort into it. It's just how I am. And so I had to make the decision, well, I've got to put 100% into either one of the two, Headspaces or my day job. And so it got to October and I handed my notice in and decided it's going to be Headspaces. And at this time, Headspaces really wasn't anything more than just a concept. It was just an idea. I knew that if I put my mind to it and had the capability to go full time, I could definitely make something of it. And I was always under this mindset that if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, then at least I've given it a go. At least I've tried. At least I've done something that I believe will make me happier. And for whatever reason, if it doesn't work out, I can just re-enter the job market, but hopefully with a brighter view or perspective on things, on life. But thankfully, things have worked out, and here we are. So yeah, that was November, between handing in my notice and starting full time with Headspaces. That was November last year,
which again feels like a million years ago. Because time is so crazy in this space. Why Headspaces? Why mental health? Given you don't have a background working in mental health, what sort of was the inspiration for this idea and not, say, you know, some cute, like just whatever, you don't want to make a comic book, you want to, you know, create a game, like or whatever. Why mental health specifically, I guess?
Yeah, no, I mean... It is a great question. And I think back then, you know, you'll know firsthand how rapidly the NFT market has changed. It feels like it's been a little bit, I wouldn't say stale, but it's followed the same sort of pattern for at least the last couple of months. But back then, sort of the, you know, Q3, Q4 of last year, it was very much every week something new and innovative was popping up. And I didn't really think, you know, there was no set model or pattern methodology for launching a project. There was no trend necessarily in place, you know, which, as you said, is these cute PFP focused projects, you know, all the tokenomic staking, all those buzzwords. That wasn't necessarily a trend back then. And so it was less about starting an NFT project just for the financial success. It was more for me about starting a project, as I said, that really made me happier. And although I didn't come out of my old job with, you know, clinically diagnosed mental health disorder or anything like that, I just felt sad. I was just going through these negative emotions, like all of us do at some point in our lives. I thought that really there was only one focus that I could attach to the project, and it was mental health. And I sort of say to people when they ask, and it's almost like a joke, it's almost not, but I sort of started this project for a selfish reason, and that was to make myself happier. And I knew, much like, and this is the example I give all the time, every human being, I don't care what anyone says, deep down has the want and the need to please other people in the smallest of ways, in the greatest of ways. If you make someone else happier, whether it be a stranger or a family member or a friend, that gives you a nice warm feeling inside. And so for me, even though I was perhaps starting the project out of a selfish nature to make me happier, I knew that if I could then put the effort into making others happier, it's going to give me that back. So giving and taking, really, there, that was the motive. And so that focus, as soon as I really attached it to Headspaces, just became the driving factor, and it still is today.
No, I love that. I think, at the end of the day, we're all selfish. We're all like, you think of yourself first. It's hardwired into our DNA. You know, we're here to survive. We're here to, and then it's sort of like, how do you be selfish in a way that helps others as well, and makes you a good, productive member of society? And I think, it's just admirable that that's sort of your mission. And it's sort of, not too many people would have that self-awareness and recognize, you know, that you're even being selfish, or that's just the way that you're approaching it. So I think that's really cool. Let's dig into the actual NFT project a bit more. So is it, what is Headspaces? Like, how would you describe it in terms of the type of project that it is?
Yeah, so it was, let's start. It's two halves, really, I suppose. There was obviously a lot of planning that went into it, and the planning was dragged out over months, you know, not necessarily because of the slow process, but because I wanted to be careful in how I approached putting the building blocks together. And I don't necessarily come from an art background, but I do have a great appreciation for art. And even though last, you know, August, September, you could still class the space far earlier than it is now, time and time again, I would see artists or illustrators sort of being used for their talent to just create a project. So I wanted to go about finding and sourcing, an artist for the project really carefully. And I did weeks, if not months, of research, trawling through portfolio after portfolio, having conversations with artists who were maybe brand new to NFTs or knew what was going on, to find someone that ticked quite a few boxes. And I came across a fantastically talented editorial illustrator called Ari Lalowen, who is the Headspaces artist. She's based in Berlin in Germany. And she was brand new to NFTs. She'd been approached, or her agency had been approached, a number of times already, but they didn't really feel it. They weren't really there yet. And Headspaces was the first sort of project, I think, that hit them. They liked the sound of it. They liked my passion for it. And so they came on board. And so that first half, that one of two parts, is the art focus. It's the fact that I wanted to try and have a fine line, a balance between the PFP project that everyone loves in this space, and then the more traditional art side of things, you know, onboarding a true illustrator, someone who's, that is their craft, and onboard them into the space, bring them into this space and show them, you know, maybe NFTs get a little bit of a bad rep in the traditional art space, but it's not bad. You know, there are definitely some bad apples, but largely speaking, it's a wonderful space. And I think it's a great next logical progression step for some artists. And so that's the one of two. The second really is this idea of sort of like a membership pass, an access token. So whilst I don't have this background in mental health, our third team member, Satvik Sethi, who's done a wonderful amount in the name of mental health in his professional life and just in his personal life, you know, working with the UN, I think at 19 he was, you know, helping to influence policies on mental health globally is pretty incredible. Yeah. At such a young age. And there's he maybe won't like me saying this, but I think there's some videos of him online actually at the UN doing just that. So he's brought to the project this sort of resume of connections, of ideas, of abilities to introduce these charitable organizations and maybe their utility that they offer, not only as a charity, but just to the general public in terms of wellness and tools to help improve your mental well-being and fortitude. And so having Satvik on board, you know, sort of alongside me to sort of maybe guide the decision-making process, what we really hope to do over the coming weeks and months is create this calendar, this weekly, monthly calendar, if you will, that allows, opens the doors, opens access, however you want to phrase it, to a whole bunch of wellness utility. I use the Gary V air quote, wellness utility is the phrase I quite like. So striving away from this buzzword that's got a little bit of negative connotations, utility, because a few months ago, that was the trend. What utility does the project have? Don't really care about the art or how much it costs. What utility can we get out of it? And so it's obvious that people are, of course, interested and concerned in what they can get from a project, from their investment. Let's not shy away from what it is. And so that's really what we're looking at. So the art being one side of things, the true art, and then this wellness utility as the second part. What can we offer people in the name of mental health, in the name of mental health resources or direct support, teletherapy, whatever it may be? What can we actually give people? And so that's the second part of the two.
And so can you talk about what you might have lined up in terms of that wellness utility?
Sure. Yeah. So actually this week we had our first set of guided meditation sessions that are being run by a wonderful person, goes by the name of Shannon, who's been teaching yoga and meditation with his wife for over two decades now, and has been looking for a way to bring that breadth of experience into this new digital space. And so two weekly sessions being run by Shannon. That's actually the first of this wellness utility that we've introduced. Breathing work is another. So again, this sort of idea of having quite short, sharp sessions that people can just join. They miss it. They're all recorded, so people can, have access to sort of a myriad of resources, as I put it, that they can come back to time and time again. And they're the two things at the moment that we have set in stone. And as I said, it's really about the next few weeks and months, listening to the holding community and asking, what do you guys, girls, what do you all want to see? And then we can deliver it. I've had this preconception of how to manage an NFT project. And what I've tried to strive away from is, as many projects are doing at the moment, is coming up with a roadmap well ahead of time, almost dictating what it is we'll be delivering, when really you don't know who your holding community will be in a week, in a month. And so to have a plan orchestrated way ahead of time doesn't really make too much logical sense to me. So I would much rather take things at a more gradual pace and listen to people firsthand. If 1 week, the community want X, and then 2 months down the line, the dynamic or the demographic of the holding community has shifted, they might not want the same thing. And so we try and evolve and build on this project in that more gradual sense.
I'm so happy you said that. I love that so much. Not just might the community change, but the entire space changes so quickly. excuse me. Maybe not quite as crazy as September, October last year, like you mentioned, where every week it's different, but it moves at breakneck speeds, and who knows what technology is going to be available, who knows what people are going to be interested in. For Zen Academy on the website, instead of a roadmap section, we literally have it called Not a Roadmap. And that's the page where I wrote about how I don't like roadmaps. And I think for the reasons you outlined, it's just gives you the freedom to sort of adjust and go with the flow, which I think is really, really important, especially in this space. So I love that. I think it should probably be worth mentioning, because the only thing we have yet is that your project has already launched, as in that people have been able to mint, and it is not some upcoming mint date. So you already have a community that you're working with and sort of fostering a relationship, I suppose, with them, and trying to figure out how you can help them and how they can help each other, and all the good things that communities do in this space. When was the mint, and like, let's talk about the details. How many NFTs were there, and how did that go?
Sure. Yeah. So we had our private sale or our pre-sale launch on the 28th of April, which it seems a lifetime ago in itself. And that was open for 72 hours. And we actually got mixed feedback on that. People who were on the pre-sale list absolutely loved the idea of that extended window, you know, because personally minted a ton of projects and you're always, well, more often than not confined to a 24-hour window or something. And people who've got busy lives, I feel privileged to say that in comparison to many, my life is probably not too busy. You know, I don't have kids. I don't have too many jobs and things I have to be out doing. But for many, they do. And 24 hours just wasn't enough. So we had that 72-hour window. And then a short break, and then immediately after, so the first, was it Sunday the 1st of May, the public sale opened and has been open since. And unfortunate timing, you know, it's just how things go sometimes in life.
Yeah, that was about when the market went completely belly up, which, yeah, like you said, is unfortunate. But you seem to be in relatively high spirits.
I am, yeah. And some people can't believe it. but I, to me, it's... and maybe I'm just the optimist, right? But to me, I am looking at it as a silver lining or a blessing in disguise, because we've completely dodged a wave of bullets, so to speak, in that we've missed that whole wave of inevitable flipping communities, you know, alpha groups, whatever those bunch of people usually are, you know, hopping from anticipated project to the next. We've missed those. The market wasn't in a great state. That led to less people willing to take these gambles on new projects in the hope of a flip. And so anyone who stops by our website or our Twitter, one of our Twitter spaces, our Discord, whatever it may be, however they hear about Headspaces now, they mint because they genuinely appreciate and understand the mission behind it. And that means a lot, because you don't have these people who are in and out very quickly with money being the prime focus. And I've just got to say, I've never had a grudge against people who want to flip NFT projects. It's good money if you get it right, if you get the timing right. And that's an honorable use of this space to earn life-changing money in some cases. So that's never been an issue, but it's just nice to know that people now who are minting the project are here to stick around. And they believe in what's going on. So, right, yes, 3,000 is the number of the collection
size. Yeah,
collection size, which is quite nice. That, you know, it creates that idea of scarcity. It means that we're not just sort of pumping out that 10,000 piece for the sake of 10,000 pieces. And it also gives us the opportunity to, again, even though we haven't sold out yet, when we do, because it's inevitable, you know, we've got that optimism. But when we do, I think having 3,000 people in the community, perhaps everyone's got one each, it'd be a lot easier to start fostering, you know, more personable relationships with that number than 10,000, you know, than three and a bit times that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would still be difficult to learn everyone's names, real life names. But I think that's it's an easier way to cultivate a community when there are fewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I think that, I mean, like you said, it's sort of a silver lining, a blessing in disguise, not having that frenzied mint experience. And I've spoken to dozens of project founders who have had that, I guess on all ends of the spectrum, but and they really say it's a double-edged sword. Like on the one hand, it's nice, you know, you get the injection of capital, you get it feels like you're validated. Oh, I launched a project, it's sold out, people like it, et cetera. And price goes up and it's really, really euphoric, but inevitably in 99.9% of cases, it comes crashing down hard. Your Discord goes from a buzzing place to, like, you know, all of a sudden people are losing money and they're not happy because some people bought the top, some people bought at this point, and then they're like, it really, they start, people panic, and then there's FUD, fear, uncertainty, doubt, and it's really, really, really tough for a project founder. And I know it's, I'm reminded of that meme where I think it's, forget the actor's name, but he's crying with $100 bills. And it's like, okay, sure, you sold out a collection, you maybe made $500,000 or $2 million as a team, and you're upset. But it's, for the people who are genuinely good-hearted and well-intentioned and trying to build something good, they don't like to see people buy their NFTs and lose money, and they're trying to do everything they can to avoid that. But the reality is that it's impossible because of the nature of the beast, and some people just are. And then, yeah, it's a complete double-edged sword, and some of the best, healthiest communities out there have been without that. They've been the slow burn, that slow mint out, that gradual process, because as you said, those who do mint are there for the right reasons, or because they believe in the project, the team, the community, and or that they really appreciate the art, and it's not to flip. And yeah, it's just, it's fascinating. Someone should write a book on the psychology of mints, and it's, yeah, it would be amazing to read.
It's coming. Give it a few years, sure, I'm sure that will. A number of those, yeah. But you're right. Double-edged sword is a good way to put it. And you know, I think anyone would be lying if they said it wouldn't be nice to have a project that sells out just like that. And you look at the contract wallet and see a large sum of money. I mean, it's surreal. And I think people who perhaps aren't in a founder's position would maybe take people or project teams who have sold out a project and say, I don't care about the money. Maybe they would take those sort of statements with a pinch of salt because they think, well, it's easy for you to say you've made all that money now. It's easy to say, oh, I don't, it's not about the money to me. But in a, I think a lot of times, that perhaps is the case. And like I said earlier on, from my background, you know, working in software engineering and originally being very financially driven, I think if I was still incredibly financially driven, I would have stuck with it. I would have understood that, look, working in corporate IT, it's not always a fun time. And especially if you're trying to bump yourself up that career path ladder, it's going to be long hours, but you know, that's the price you're paying. High stress, long hours for a higher salary. And you know, after 4 years in that position, I realized actually maybe when I was growing up, I was a little bit naive. And I thought I was financially motivated when in reality I am more motivated. And this project has proven it by passion and by meaning and by mission. And that's definitely how it's felt. And so when I look at the contract wallet and see that there isn't this enormous sum following a sold out project, it doesn't really bother me at all. As I said, I've still got all of that optimism and surety, knowing that this project will be a success, and it will be a success over time and go from NFT project into a brand. That's the goal. It really is. Over a period of months, let alone, you know, period of months, sorry, rather than a period of minutes.
Yes.
And I think one really important thing to mention is that, much like with many different things in the world, right, everyone are comparing such a minute percentage of NFT projects to the big picture, right? I think, and I don't know the statistics at all, but let's say, for argument's sake, it's 0.1% of NFT projects amass this great deal of hype. They sell out very quickly and they raise X amount of capital, you know, a great big sum. I'm pretty sure that's going to be around the realm of 0.1, 0.2% of NFT projects. The vast majority not even get close to selling out. You know, and that is the reality. And I think it's, whether it was Gary Vee that said it first or someone else, but you know, 98% of NFT projects are going to fail. It's the harsh reality.
It is.
And so if you can take what perhaps is a failure as a learning experience or get something from it in the process, then it's not a complete failure. But in the eyes of selling out a collection, you know, perhaps it is. And so everyone has this idea of, well, if a collection doesn't sell out in 5 minutes or 5 hours, then, well, that's it. It's done. And that's just not the case. You look at the number of businesses out there, not even tech businesses in any industry, who spend years and years working very hard to design a perfect business plan. And then when they do execute it, when they do actually reach the right audience, it explodes and it becomes a fantastic success overnight, but significantly longer post their launch. So it just depends how you look at it. And for us, it's a long game.
Yeah. The definition of success is a incredibly warped in this space. Like you said, if a project doesn't sort of immediately sell out, many people think of it as a failure, and there's this real stigma against them. And I wrote a newsletter a post about this like 8 months ago, and it was evident then. I think it's becoming a little less the case now because people do sort of understand how this whole space works or should work and how businesses work. And maybe there's more examples of projects that had that slower mint out and are very successful, and people look at those. And I think, so we're recording this 24th of May. This whole month has been pretty bearish. You know, there's been a lot of just catastrophic events in the world, in crypto, in NFTs. And I feel like the market has still shown, a level of resiliency, but it's sort of maturing now where just talking to people are now less inclined to mint these lower effort projects and look for the gems, look for the ones where there's a real team. Being doxed is important. Knowing the people behind the team is just becoming more and more, it's becoming more and more apparent how important that is. And people are taking the time to research, and it's I think, necessary. Like a lot of people say it's like these bear markets is flushing out the speculators and the people who weren't here for the sort of quote unquote right reasons. And I think that there's not that speculating is wrong. Like you said, that, you know, people will try and make money on it, but the ones that are sort of, for most project founders, I think the people that you really want to be part of your project are those who want to be part of it for years, who really believe in the idea or resonate with the art or the community as it is. So yeah, I mean, again, silver lining, bear markets, some people are unhappy with them. Obviously there's downsides, but I think there's a lot of positive that can come out of them as well. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it really is. It just depends how you look at it. It's a matter of perspective. And perhaps it's difficult to accept the bear market if you are on the investor/collector side rather than the creator side, because whereas as a creator, I'm the only real resource I put behind the project is time. And I know time is money. But if you're a collector or an investor and you put money behind your efforts in this space, for that to then halve or you know, a quarter in value over the space of a few weeks, that really does hit hard, I can imagine. Whereas for me, having that level of time invested over money, it's just it's a matter of perspective, as I said. You just got to accept. And one thing, actually, so GE, General Electric, was the company I was working at prior. They had a set of what I guess in hindsight actually make a lot of sense, but at the time I just thought was, you know, a bit of sort of corporate rubbish. One of the sayings of the company was learn fast and adapt, and that actually has stuck with me. And it's nothing new, that phrase I'm sure has been used a ton of times all over the place, but it does make sense. And in a bear market, you just have to learn quickly and adapt, and that's all you can do. And the projects that do that and come out the other side having shown commitment and consistency and resilience, you know, great word, I think are the ones that will succeed. And as you said, people who are doing a little bit more research, taking their time to find those docs teams with a good mission and a good foundation. And if we've been here for, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks, you know, post launch, still putting in that effort, it's only a matter of time before those people doing the research find us and other projects alike. So that's the way I'm looking at it. And again, learn fast and adapt. You've just got to accept that things are far different from how they were back last August when you put out an NFT project. It would sell out because people were just looking for that next big thing. It was all about FOMO. But times have changed.
There really weren't even that many projects launching that week. Like back then, I remember, I mean, if we go back to like June, July, you know, there'd be like 2 NFT projects launching a week. And so the market was just hungry and would just flock to it. Now we get, I don't know, 50 a day or something absolutely insane. Probably more than 50 a day if you look at other blockchains and what's going on. So the market has to be more discerning, basically. It's just utterly unsustainable for people to be aping into random projects all the time. Talking about sort of mental health and sort of the NFT space as a whole, what's your read on it? Like in terms of like right now, obviously it's a bear market. People are struggling. And like you mentioned, those who have lost a lot of money financially. But what would you say, I guess, in general and right now are the sort of like the biggest issues that people have to tackle with in this space, or the things that sort of get people feeling anxious the most or down the most? Do you think it's financially related, or do you think it's something else? Or yeah,
I think it is financially. I think that is the biggest factor, honestly. And I don't have any stats to back this up, but just from talking to people in the Headspaces community and joining every and any Twitter spaces I can that has, you know, mental health tag in the title, that's really what I feel it comes down to at the moment. It's not the idea of necessarily people losing money. I think it's the reminder that, and again, a very small percentage of people have made enormous sums of money. And it's this idea of FOMO, which really does hit hard. And not just people in Western, more developed countries, but people in typically less fortunate countries who are now entering the NFT space, seeing these examples of people who have made a lot of money. And you've now got waves of people from these lesser developed countries almost devoting their life, every waking minute of their days, to finding this next big project. And whilst we just said for the majority, it's not sustainable to just ape into any project you come across, this whole idea of grinding for whitelist, allow list spots, whatever you want to call it, I think has really twisted the space. And I don't think it's improved. Maybe it's not gotten any worse in the last couple of weeks, but it's maybe reached a plateau, but a bad plateau, you know, where that's almost the expectation now. And I remember when, before our pre-sale list filled up, we'd have waves of people, you know, maybe 100 people joining the Discord server a day, and maybe half, 75% of those people would join and leave very quickly when they discovered that the server wasn't about grinding and message count and levels.
Yeah.
And because that's what they were used to, and that's what they were prepared to do, you know, just sit in Discord, maybe in some cases run a chatbot or something, you know, when they discovered that wasn't actually what we were looking for, we were in search of, you know, genuine connections and conversations, irrespective of how many messages you sent, that sort of turned quite a few people off, which, you know, was a big shock, and a shock in a bad way, because it sort of proved that a lot of people are just willing to throw a lot of time into fake interactions and not really caring about what it is they're doing, just to chase this idea of the potential to earn money. And that's the key thing, it's the potential. And it's quite a slim potential. Again, when you think about the projects that actually go from mint price to 5, 10x, even, you know, even 2x, the number of projects that actually make that successful flip is very slim. Mm-hmm. You know, you are expecting a project to live up to the hype, to sell out very quickly, and then for there to be that continued demand in order to make money. And so when I see a lot of people continue to chase that dream, if you will, of making money, I think that is a really big factor in negatively impacting people's mental health at the moment. And I'm in a lot of Discord servers. You know, how many of those I frequently jump in and have a chat with people, that's besides the point. Sometimes it's just too much to handle. Mm. But, you know, I'm in enough and I've been in enough to see firsthand that is very much the overbearing culture. Still, it's just this element of grinding and spending a lot of time, sometimes completely unrewarded in the space. And so I think that's a big problem, and it needs to be addressed collectively, not just by the new projects launching, but maybe existing projects who have big followings, big audience. I think it sort of falls almost on their shoulders to draw attention to the state of the culture in the NFT world. And maybe try and put things right just by words of encouragement, words of wisdom, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it really wears people down, basically, during that, because it's not an isolated event. Most people that do it will do it day after day after day, week after week, and it really leads to burnout. And like you said, most people will not find that 100x, even 10x, or even 2x, where it's often a lot of, oh, I spent a bunch of time grinding for a mint list and then I minted it and I lost money on it. It's tough to stomach that, especially again and again and again. And then again, especially if you're looking around and seeing other people making a bunch of money, and it can feel like everyone is winning and you're not, but the reality is most people are not finding that success. It's just like the whether it's 1%, fraction of a percent, a few percent that are making most of the money, or it's just sort of, yeah, it's tough. Not to say there aren't tremendous opportunities, there are, but it's really tough to sort of find them and to stay mentally sane, I guess, in the, yeah. I could talk all day about this. Sorry, yeah, go on.
Yeah, no, well, I was just going to add to that. That was an interesting point, actually, about, you know, grinding to get one of these allow list spots and then the project as a whole perhaps not turning out the way that many expected it to. The flip side of that is the people that put tremendous amounts of effort, you know, genuine effort, into into obtaining one of these allow list spots, who aren't rewarded with one, who feel incredibly let down, betrayed almost, and then turn to FUDing the project or the team, or whether it be directly or indirectly, you know, spreading bad word, whatever it may be, that sort of negativity that's fostered and then created for whatever reason, I think also affects people, and not only the people who have fallen short on acquiring one of these outlist spaces, pre-sale spaces, but I think people perhaps who already have, or people who are still trying, again, within these sort of isolated communities, it just doesn't create a nice atmosphere, a nice environment. Mm. And if you are spending a lot of time each day in these communities, in these spaces, to be surrounded by that sort of negativity indirectly is depressing and is sad. It's not a nice place to be. You know, imagine something I think a lot of people can relate, you know, going back to sort of school or college days and having negativity in a friendship group or seeing others being bullied or put down. It's a nasty feeling to be around. And so that's not nice for everyone in itself.
Yeah. And I guess one more point that came to mind, I mean, again, we could keep going back and forth all day, but I want to just, from the sort of the project founder side as well, or creator side, it is really disheartening as well to see sort of projects that pop up that are just like derivative projects or meme projects or copycats that, you know, someone hacked together in a few hours, or there's no docs team, the Twitter account was created that day, and then the NFT space decides to mint it out and it goes crazy. And you know, most of the time they go to zero and it's just, it's a mess. But it's like, it could be really disheartening for project founders to see people mint those projects and not a project that maybe they've been working on for 6 months, a year, have a team, et cetera, et cetera. And I think just, that's one of my least favorite parts about the space, but I'm like you, optimistic. And I think that the space will mature and those projects and those builders who do stick around, that who do keep building, innovating, adapting, will be usually rewarded either by the project succeeding, or honestly, like quote unquote worst case scenario, the project does not succeed financially, but the amount of experience that person has gained by working on their project and the things that they've learned, I'm very confident they could then go to a new project, start something else, work with other people, work for another project, and find success in their own right.
That's a good point in itself as well. And I think, so that is one reason why, and again, I mentioned quite a bit of planning went into Headspaces way back to ensure that we could, you know, sort of forecast what the future would look like and how we would execute on that. And so for me, it's been really important to try and detach this idea of utility, what we can offer and what that will cost. So if you are one of these projects that promises a roadmap and you want to make the larger NFT market happy and tick all of these trendy buzzwords, you've got to accept and be aware that that's going to cost a lot in money and time and experience. And so you either need to be prepared in advance or you need to accept the reality that you're going to have to prepare very quickly for that. Because if you do check all of these buzzwords, and I think it's only a matter of time before you do attract an influx of people and you do become one of these highly anticipated projects. And so for us, not promising all of this trendy stuff, although it might affect or have affected our ability to grow at a rapid pace, it's meant that we don't have these financial constrictions on the development of the project. So with Satvik's ties, with the connections I've made, with this idea of wellness utility and having people like Shannon, even though we are paying Shannon for these guided meditation sessions, it's a very small fee in the grand scheme of what perhaps some of this other NFT utility might cost. We're providing value, even in small chunks, to the Headspace's holders, but it doesn't come at the cost of a large price, which obviously is then dependent on the project selling out. So you've sort of got this vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And we've tried to avoid that. And I think we've done pretty well thus far to avoid that, which means we've got the freedom to have this slower building process. We've got the freedom to listen to what people want and then make decisions accordingly, whilst not having this big overbearing fear of, oh, what if we run out of money? What if, you know, the community fund is depleted really quickly because of the plans we've got in store? We don't face that. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that a lot of projects, unfortunately, don't really consider and think about. And I can't tell you how many times I have spoken to a project founder who's launching a project with ambitious plans. And I say, well, what happens if you don't sell out? What happens if you only sell 20%, 30%? And the response is, then we can't do it. And it's like, well, what do you do then? you sort of promise this. And I mean, it works both ways, where people who are minting the NFT, they may not like consider what happens if the project only sells out 30%. The team might not be able to deliver, but it's I think more people need to think about that and sort of have a lean approach. We could get into this for a lot longer, but let's bring it back to Headspaces, where, I mean, we probably didn't talk about it as much, and so I'm going to have to get you back on here in the future. But for people who are more interested, interested in finding out more about Headspaces or you, where are the best places to go? Twitter, Discord, website?
Sure. Yeah. So the website, probably with the first point of call, because from there you can springboard to Twitter, to Discord, to any of the team members' Twitter accounts.
Headspacesnft.io.
That's correct. Yeah. So that's the website. Discord is the same. It's just Headspaces NFT custom invite. So you can drop in there. And Twitter is also Headspaces NFT. So you could stop by either of them. We try any major update we put across all socials. So fully appreciate people can't afford to sit in Discord for much of their day. So Twitter is probably the best point of call if you're just after some updates. You want to keep tabs on the project. And the website goes into a further detail on what it is we're doing.
Yeah. Well, we'll have links to all of that in the description below for anyone that wants to check it out. Is there anything else that you want to mention? Final words, parting words?
I think, well, one thing I just want to say is NFT NYC, which is coming up. Appreciate not every person watching this video will be attending or can attend, but if there is anyone who is, I will be there on behalf of Headspaces. And I'd like to do at least something, probably a little bit more intimate than some of these larger scale project events. Twitter, best place to keep an eye on. So if you'd like to talk to me a little bit more, if you are going to be in New York around that event, then I'd love to interact with anyone who's got some questions.
Amazing.
So that's probably all.
Yeah, wonderful. I look forward to meeting you there as well. I'll be there. And we'll definitely have to catch up. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. This has been such a pleasure. And like I mentioned, I'm going to have to get you back on sometime in the future just to check in a few months and see where things are at. But have a just wonderful day. I really appreciate your time.
For sure. No, thank you for having me on, honestly. It means a lot.
Thanks for listening to Zen Chats with Zeniker. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you are notified of future episodes. Also, make sure to check out our YouTube channel for the video version of this episode. For even more podcasting fun, check out the other podcast I co-host, Two Bored Apes. If you enjoy my content, please consider joining us at Zen Academy, a place where anyone, anywhere, at any level can learn about NFTs and Web3. All of the links are in the description below. I'll catch you next time.